satisfied mm-hmm. with those things. And another point with the sorrows is that when we are usually kind of mindful, we are in wonder when something serious is there. When something serious is there in your life, you just not, you take it serious. When you are serious, in that serious state, you are not necessarily in a kind of laughing state.
Yes.
You take it serious. You are very mindful. You have wondered that if I make a simple tiny mistake, I'm going to lose. So I have to take it serious. And that kind of joy, being joyous, sometimes may make the human being heedless, careless, and then it causes the fail and failure. In Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, it's in Surah Alaq, verse 7, كَلَّا إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَيَطْغَى أَرْرَآهُ إِسْتَغْنَى. Indeed, man becomes rebellious. Man rebels against Allah when he considers himself without need to Allah.
Yes.
You know, this famous statement of Nietzsche, the German philosopher, who said that in modernity we killed God.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly, that is the translation of this verse of Al-Quran.
Yes.
That he said, you know, I said in the previous sessions we talked about the way that you look at the anthropology, the man, and the cosmology that you have around the world, and also the creator. So he says, in the past, we used to consider that we had lots of problems in the life and we didn't know how to solve them. So we created something as God. So uh-huh. it just gave us a kind of a happiness of mind.
Yes.
And a kind of a relief of the pains. As Karl Marx said that, religion is the opium of the mass, mm-hmm. this famous statement of him. It means that for the people, when they are in hardships, when they are in difficulties, religion works like opium.
Mm-hmm.
It relieves the pain. So,
but it is not necessarily the very opium,
yeah.
huh?
Yeah. Okay. Of course, I mean, Karl Marx is...
is it a realistic terminology? That's right.
No, okay. I mean, no. He's about to talk about the positive sense of okay. religion.
Uh-huh.
But, so Nietzsche said that now when we experience modernity and we developed our science and our knowledge and we had a mm-hmm. good technology to provide whatever we needed in the life, then we didn't need the God anymore. God is dead. Why? Because we don't need that created image in the mind anymore.
And the system of values are changed. That's right.
So okay. so you see that is one perception of human being, and
mm-hmm.
So when they feel that they don't need, then they get arrogance.
IRIB English Radio presents Questions and Answers on Islamic Beliefs. Answering your theological questions in Questions and Answers on Islamic Beliefs. Send us your questions to English Radio at irib.ir.
Praises to Allah, all glories to Allah, we worship Allah and no one but Allah.
This look is very, very much high for the people to understand that, for example, through sorrow and sadness for a tragedy like the tragedy of Karbala, at the end, the people can find salvation and prosperity. I mean, reaching prosperity through sorrow is not something tangible and objective for all the people around the world. I mean, maybe Muslims, Shia Muslims, okay, because of the stories that they have heard, because of the narrations that they have heard. It is tangible for them, Shaykh, but for most of the people, it might not be.
No. Contrary to that, I have the experience that when you want to talk about non-Muslims, especially Christianity, mm-hmm. Christians, one of the very easy ways to make a kind of, to start, to make a bridge and to get in a kind of a common sense of what you believe in, Imam Hussein alayhi salam is one of the best mm-hmm. Options. every human being who has a kind of feeling of a human being can sort of get, be connected to the story of Imam Hussein. They might, they can easily find them and find sympathy with the story of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, because Imam Hussein alayhi salam is the story of human being.
Yes.
So everybody has a Hussein in himself, and there is a Yazid who is always opposing, bullying and oppressing, and everybody wants to have the Hussein who is free. Everybody wants to have, you know, when if a person is not a mean person, they like the story of Hussein. Because the story of Abu Abdullah is the story of the freedom of human being.
Yes.
The story that I am not slave of anyone.
Mm-hmm.
I am greater than the demands of anyone else. So if we properly explain Karbala for people, not just make it a religious issue,
yes,
then that's why in Arba'in you see lots of people are coming from different, you know,
yes,
denominations and religions.
Okay.
Why? Because they find something in the story that this is the story of a human being, especially at the modern time.
And they're not necessarily shedding tears for Imam
Hussein.
There are lessons in that tragedy that took place for Imam Hussein. That's right.
Yeah, you feel human being.
Uh-huh.
You know, one of the I said that this modern civilization is very totalitarian.
Mm-hmm.
And it is not satisfied with you unless to get everything of you, the whole aspect of you. And whatever you expect, you accept from them, they are not happy with that. They take another step forward.
Yes.
And you have to retreat, and you have to say, okay, again, I surrender to what you're demanding. You know, there was a time that I don't want to get into those dirty things or whatever. And now you see that they are promoting animality for human beings.
Uh-huh.
Like the story of human pups.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, they say that there are something like 10,000 human pups in Britain only.
Mm-hmm.
People who live like dogs every day, some hours they live like a dog.
Yeah.
So how much,
or the surgeries that they do in order to shape themselves into
and you have to spend big money, something like you have to spend £2,000 for a week to live like a pig.
But the good news was that recently I saw some of these footages on the social media that some people who have, for example, did plastic surgery and changed their face or ears, eyes into animals, you know, they were tired of this life. So there were some Muslim preachers who have invited to Islam. They converted to Islam. They changed the whole thing. Okay. So the good news is also can be found between all these sad news is too all around the world.
Yeah. That's another aspect that we may talk about. But I'm speaking about the point that, you see, they want to destroy the humanity inside. And lots of these people, they are just looking for a change. At least they know something.
Uh-huh.
They know something. Even that person who likes to live like an animal.
Yes.
You know, I was listening to them. They were saying that this way we are respected. Because everybody likes dogs, we want to be dogs. In a modern time that there is no mercy, this mechanical life that you have to work like a machine. That there is no sympathy, there is no kindness, there is no manhood there. I'm looking for a change. Man is tired of this lifestyle.
Uh-huh.
So they don't find the alternative.
Mm-hmm.
So because they don't know the alternatives, then they say, okay, let's try this one. Let's try this.
Okay.
Maybe it works.
Mm-hmm.
And when they
reach nowhere.
Yeah. Then they are again tired of that.
Yes.
So man is lost.
Yes.
And Allah says in Quran, "Innal khasirin alladhina khasiru anfusahum." The losers are those who have lost their soul. So this is the problem of man in the modern time, that man has lost the soul. I have talked to so many Westerners who are old people.
Yes.
That they themselves, they are very tired of this lifestyle. Uh-huh. That they say old days were much better. Mm-hmm. Old days were nicer. Mm-hmm. And but they cannot do anything. There is a hegemony. I said it's very totalitarian.
Yes.
Okay. And even those people are suffering. So they look for a change and they look for something serious. Yes. I said that this is in the nature of man, that man, when it is, man is in happiness, man is in the state of no need and everything is okay, man is very likely to be arrogant mm-hmm. in such a state.
Yes.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he talks about Qarun or Korah according to the Bible, the Torah,
yes.
Allah says, "Inna Qaruna kana min qawm Musa." Qarun was from the people of Moses alayhi salam, Musa alayhi salam, and he was very well off. He was very rich, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, he got so rich that then he was very arrogant. Izqala lahu qawmuhu la tafrah. Then his people told him, "Do not be joyous."
Yes.
Inna Allah la yuhibbul farihin. Allah doesn't like those who are exultant and joyous. So this being joyous doesn't mean that Allah doesn't like you to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
This kind of happiness that causes a kind of arrogance, a feeling that I am God myself. I don't need God. I don't need anything. I am the owner of everything. Mm-hmm. I am in the full control.
Self-centerism.
This selfishness.
Yes, that's right.
So the kind of, being joyous and happy, it might be likely to create such a feeling in human being. From that perspective, sorrow itself is opposite to that. It makes a kind of seriousness for man in what he's doing.
Okay.
This is one of the differences in, generally speaking, between being in joyous state or sorrow.
Okay, I think we have to continue our discussion when we are done with the time for this episode. Thank you very much, Sheikh Agha Mohammadi. Thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.ir, Call of Islam page. The another episode. God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
Inna fil jannati nahran min laban li Ali wa Husayn wa Hasan.
Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
Rubashavit, Gaza.
Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
Saeed Poreza, London.
Rasha Saglam, Istanbul.
Saeed Amin Olemi, Kabul.
Shahana Bhatt, Indian administered Kashmir.
Around the world with reporters.
United as always, Iranians gathered after Friday prayers in the capital Tehran to show their outrage and acts of terror in the country after scores of people were killed in bombings in Kerman. They say while it was Daesh which claimed responsibility for the terrorist attack, the U.S. and its regional ally Israel are actually behind these atrocities.
Daesh is created by the U.S. Former U.S. President Donald Trump once said that Obama was the founder of Daesh. They have caused disasters in the country for more than 40 years, but our people are still standing for the Islamic Revolution. Are they blind? How did they not see this?
Israel and the U.S. have a long history of hostility against the Iranian people. Wednesday terrorist attacks in Kerman were an obvious proof of that, as they've been supporting different terrorist groups, including Daesh, in the region.
Daesh?
Daesh couldn't do this by itself. It has a supporter. Their supporters are the U.S. and Israel.
Mothers were among those taking part in the rally. I asked them how they felt when they saw the dead bodies of innocent people as the attack occurred on Mother's Day in Iran.
There's no doubt that Israel and the U.S. were behind this horrific terrorist attack. It hurts every human being's feeling when on Mother's Day they see a mother killed while holding her baby.
During the rally, people also mourned for a 20-year-old girl named Faiza Rahimi, Faeza was a student who was killed in the attack. Iranian students of all ages were participating in the rally to show their support for martyrs like Faeza.
Imam Khomeini once said, "Kill us, but our nation will become more awakened."
Western-backed terrorist attacks in Iran have mainly targeted popular backing for the Islamic Republic, but the people say they will continue to support the establishment and hold heroes like martyr Qasem Soleimani in their hearts. Farzan Ashuryan, Tehran.
Yemen has resumed its military operations in the Red Sea by targeting another Israeli-linked ship traveling to occupied Palestine. The latest attack comes just 2 days after a U.S. Navy helicopter killed 10 Yemeni naval soldiers while patrolling the Red Sea. The spokesman for Yemen's armed forces stated that the U.S. attacks did not and will not stop Yemen's military operations against Israeli ships until the genocide in Gaza ends.
The Yemeni armed forces confirmed that maritime shipping is open in the Red Sea and in the Arabian Sea to the entire world except for the ports in the occupied Palestine. We also confirmed that any acts of aggression from the U.S. will not pass by without punishment and retaliation. We also warned the American enemy and any other nation of transgression by protecting any shipments heading to the Israeli entity.
The Yemeni public has praised the army's military efforts against Israel.
Today we targeted an Israeli ship because they are prohibited from the Red Sea. We will eventually march into occupied Palestine so we can get revenge for all the martyrs. America will not be able to protect Israel. We will continue to target them.
Although the U.S. and other Western nations have urged the Yemeni government to end its continuous military operations in the Red Sea, many Yemenis believe that the blockade of Israeli shipments should continue until the genocide in Palestine.
We prepare for jihad against the enemies from land, air and sea. We've already endured 10 years of war, blockade and Al-Taisa struggles. Therefore, the time has come for us to retaliate because their blood is not worth more than ours, or the blood of a Palestinian child who is dying of hunger and being burned by Israeli bombs and missiles. Therefore, retaliation is coming.
What is clear is that the U.S. will continue to support Israel, even if it means starting another war in West Asia. Yemen's Ansar Allah movement had previously stated they are ready to take America on directly. Yemen has vowed to retaliate against the U.S. military presence in the Red Sea for the killing of the 10 Navy Yemeni personnel. They have also vowed to continue to target Israeli-linked ships and the ships of any nation that joins the U.S. in its hostile actions against Yemen. Yusuf Mawadi, Sana'a.
A mixed feeling of joy and sorrow has overshadowed the occupied West Bank town of Harura, the hometown of the late deputy chief of Hamas political bureau, Saleh al-Aruri, who was assassinated along with six others in Beirut, Lebanon, on Tuesday night. Here in this home, Sheikh Saleh al-Aruri was raised. He spent 18 years in Israeli jails before he was deported from Palestine to Lebanon. His old mother always believed that he would eventually be assassinated by those she described as cowards.
I saw him 20 years ago. He used to speak to me over the phone, but not a lot, and now he's killed. He expected to be killed. He told me that. He spent 15 years behind bars. He then was released and got married, but he was arrested again for 3 more years, and then they deported him. Those cowards sent him away, and then they killed him.
Sheikh Saleh hoped to be a martyr. And in all of his interviews, he said that he's not more precious than the children of Gaza. All the Palestinians should be proud. We congratulate ourselves on Sheikh Saleh's martyrdom. And even if he's martyred, Palestine and the cause and our resistance will always live, and people will continue the struggle.
The family of Sheikh Saleh welcomed Palestinian mourners who were also congratulating them on the martyrdom of their son. The vast majority of the Palestinians, not only Hamas supporters, viewed Sheikh Saleh a national hero who spared no effort throughout his life to help Palestinians.
Thank God my brother, Martyr Saleh, was a Mujahid fighter who spent his life for the sake of the homeland. He spent years behind bars and then in exile. He suffered a lot behind bars in isolation and torture. But he was a hero and he was murdered. We ask Allah to grant him the highest ranks in heaven. Despite all the threats, he always insisted on keeping up his position.
Meanwhile, a general strike was observed across the occupied West Bank on Wednesday to mourn the assassination of Saleh Al-Arouri. Palestinian factions had called for joint action as well as the protest rallies holding Israeli regime fully responsible for the killing. Palestinians across the occupied territories are mourning the loss of their national hero, Sheikh Saleh Al-Arouri, and his companions. But sad Palestinians at the same time insist that the Israeli regime might assassinate their beloved leaders, but cannot kill the Palestinian resistance against the occupation and atrocities. Mona Qandil from the town of Arura, north of occupied Ramallah.
As a result of the threats by the Israeli occupation forces, thousands of the Palestinian families have collected only the most necessary of their belongings before leaving their houses in Al Buraj, Al Nusrat, and Al Maghazi refugee camps. Similar to the other families who were previously displaced from Gaza City and the northern parts of the blockaded strip, these families have no place to go but the schools, the Al-Aqsa Martyrs Hospital, and the surrounding vacant areas in Deir el-Balah City. The neighborhood has now turned into an overcrowded city of tents.
We were living in our house before we were forcibly expelled by Israeli threats. Now we are homeless, living in this shattered tent that has no roof, no floor, no walls, and no bathroom. Our life is miserable. We, mostly women, girls, and children, are cramped in this small tent with no access to the basic humanitarian needs. We are suffering from unbearable conditions and the Israeli strikes.
The family of Dima Maslih was among those lucky families who could find a place in the surrounding areas of the Al-Aqsa Martyrs Hospital. 10 members, including the parents, their children, and a paralyzed aunt, are crammed in a small tent that provides no cover or protection from rain or the freezing cold weather. It's needless to mention their daily struggle to find food to eat or water to drink.
Actually, I'm a refugee here in Al Deir camp. Now, as you see, I'm in a tent with 9 families. You know how much in 9 families there's like more than 10 people in every family. And we live like literally with simple materials to live. Like there is no covers, there is no supplies like water, like anything like food or covers. Actually, no one do anything here. They just stare about us and they don't do anything.
Dima is a 21-year-old Palestinian girl. She studies translation in the Al-Azhar University in Gaza, which is now reduced to rubble over the relentless Israeli airstrikes. Like all Gaza students, Dima has her own dreams of completing her college, having a good job, and live a peaceful life in her house. However, the Israeli occupation forces ruined all her dreams, as the vast part of Gaza Strip is transformed into an unlivable place.
I was in my home. I was just preparing for the college in the morning. Then everything, this war happened. There is no warning. We just run from our home and we go to the school. They say, okay, the UN school is safe. I just wanted to give this message to the whole world. We need to stop this war. We don't need supplies like water and food. Okay, right, we need it, but we need to stop this war. Like, I lost my home. I don't know where I will back.
Dima is another example of the Palestinian student whose life, future, and dreams were ruined by the Israeli regime that has been bombarding the besieged strip for roughly 3 months in a row. This sort of the barbaric bombardment against the besieged strip goes beyond any description in terms of a brutality against civilians. Mota Abu Msabih, the central area of Gaza Strip.
A unifying figure, no doubt, a role model and a symbol of hope, self-confidence, and courage. On his fourth martyrdom anniversary, Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani is a source of inspiration more than ever. The reason why Tehran University has decided to recognize and reward prominent figures with outstanding works focused on the top commander himself and his way of life as freedom seekers worldwide, and in particular resistance fighters in Gaza, continue to look up to him and follow in his footsteps.
Today, the occupying Israeli regime and the Americans who were talking about destroying Hamas are sending messages and indirectly negotiating with Hamas about how to manage Gaza after the war and how to exchange prisoners. This all means that the axis of resistance has won this war, and once again resistance has paid off, the resistance that martyr Qasem Soleimani stood up for.
Martyr Soleimani is not just a person. Martyr Soleimani is a school of thought. It's important for us to see the world through his eyes and follow in his footsteps. That is why I have published a book, including my research on Martyr Soleimani's leadership style, that can be used as a reference for our future leaders. I believe we need more people using his methods in leadership for us to be successful.
The 20 laureates were picked out of a short list of 150 prominent figures who have made great efforts to shed light on the different aspects of Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani, both as a person and as a hero and the top commander that he was.
Haj Qasem Soleimani is one of the most influential people of our time. In Palestine, and particularly in Gaza, we owe our resistance to him. That is why we call him the martyr of Al-Quds. Young boys and girls in Gaza see him as a role model.
Martyr Soleimani is one of the greatest people in history, a unique person and a true hero. I think he is a great role model for our younger generation, and it's our duty to pass on his teachings to them.
He's very much loved by people all over the world, not just in Iran, but internationally. He's a symbol of resistance against imperialism, against hegemony, against arrogance, against occupation, against apartheid, against genocide. And he continues to fulfill that role years after he was assassinated by the criminal American regime.
In West Asia, many people who are fighting for freedom against global imperialism see their path to victory through his teachings and his way of life. And Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani will continue to be a symbol of resistance for generations to come. Gisum Shahmadi, Tehran.
In a poignant display of solidarity, Christians residing in Pakistan have opted to hold traditional Christmas celebrations with simplicity due to Israel's ongoing onslaught in Gaza. Their decision is a symbolic gesture of empathy and concern for relentless challenges faced by the people of Gaza during this festive season.
The message of Jesus Christ was the message of peace and security. We desire peace in Palestine. On this Christmas, our hearts are heavy, and we feel compelled to express our brothers and sisters in Gaza.
Pastors from various Christian communities across Pakistan gathered in the capital city, Islamabad, on Sunday for a special joint prayer meeting to appeal for a ceasefire in Gaza.
In the spirit of Christmas, we gather here to raise our voices in prayer for the innocent lives affected by the conflict in Gaza. Our prayers are with the people of Palestine, and we stand united in our plea for a ceasefire and lasting peace.
Meanwhile, a diverse gathering of people also expressed solidarity with the oppressed people of Gaza through the display of vibrant balloons, each carefully adorned with messages of solidarity and support.
The situation of Gaza is extremely distressing. It is genocide, it is violence, and it is extreme power play in a region that does not deserve this at all.
Cease fire now!
Demanding an immediate ceasefire, the individuals of all ages called on the world to halt the ongoing genocide of Palestinians in the besieged Gaza Strip.
Christians in Pakistan are using this Christmas to advocate for peace in Gaza rather than engaging in traditional celebrations. The gesture underscores that humanity is not confined by religious or national boundaries, but it is all about showing compassion for the people in distress. Nasir Kazmi, Islamabad.
Huge crowds gathered in Tehran's Grand Masala to commemorate the fourth martyrdom anniversary of Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani, pledging to follow in his footsteps. High-ranking Iranian officials and a number of foreign dignitaries were also present. Iranian President Ebrahim Raisi addressed the ceremony, reiterating that the presence of huge crowds in Tehran and different cities across the country commemorating the martyrdom anniversary of the top commander is a testimony to the fact that his legacy lives on and his school of thought is bearing fruit, not just in Iran, but in the entire region, with many people inspired by the concept of resistance as defined by Haj Qasem.
He's a role model for our society. He's a hero in Iran and in the Muslim world. He's the hero who fought against terrorism in West Asia. He always defended the oppressed. That is why he always stood by Palestine. He stood by Lebanon. He stood by Yemen. He would always find an opportunity in every threat. There is a lot that we can learn from him. He was the man who formed a united and active resistance front in the region. He made all the oppressed people in the region believe that they are capable and strong.
Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani redefined resistance, breathing new air into the resistance front. And this is considered the most fundamental part of Haj Qasem's legacy, and the reason why so many people in the region, and particularly Palestinians, look up to him, and also why he is known as the martyr of Al-Quds. The top commander's legacy lives on, with more and more people taking part in his martyrdom anniversary every year.
On the fourth martyrdom anniversary of Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani, huge crowds gathered at Tehran's Grand Masala to pledge allegiance to the top commander and the values he stood up for. Hisham Shahmadi, Tehran.
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints.
It guides us through life. It has taught us everything. We should learn and appreciate what it gives us.
واقعیت زندگی
and try to apply them to our daily lives.
چجوری ممکنه؟
How is it possible?
از راه قرآن.
By means of Quran.
این خوندن قرآن و تلاوت قرآن قدم اول است برادران من این قدم آخر نیست
Reading and recitation of the Quran is the first step brothers not the last one
هو الذي ارسل رسوله بالهدى ودين
It is he who has sent his apostle with the guidance and the religion of truth that he may make it prevail over all religions though the polytheists should be averse.
تلاوت قرآن با صوت خوش با آداب که شیوه خاصی دارد موسیقی خاصی دارد روش خاصی دارد
Recitation of the Quran in nice tones should be performed according to particular methods and tones.
إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَعِبْرَةً
اما این کافی نیست.
But it's not enough.
مشکل بزرگ مسلمانان دنیا دوری از قرآن. دوری از قرآن. از قرآن.
Muslims' major problem is losing touch with the Quran. 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 كتاب الله.
In the limelight.
A new poll suggests that most UK residents regret Brexit. According to the poll, just 1 in 10 respondents to a survey conducted 3 years after the UK left the EU said they were better off financially. Regarding this issue, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. RT wrote, most UK residents now believe Brexit has been bad for the economy, according to an opinion poll conducted to mark the third anniversary of the country's departure from the EU and published recently. A slight majority, 54% of survey respondents, found Brexit had negatively impacted the UK economy as a whole, while a dismal 13% thought its outcome had been good. A similar percentage, 53%, thought Brexit had hurt the UK's ability to control immigration, while even more, 57%, saw an undesirable effect on their country's ability to import European goods. Nearly 2 in 3 respondents, 63%, believed leaving the EU was contributing to inflation and the cost of living crisis, compared to just 8% who thought they were getting a better deal in the shops post-Brexit. More than a third, 35%, of those polled believed the exiting the bloc had negatively impacted their own financial situation, with just 1 in 10 reporting it had helped them financially. The effect on salaries and wages was viewed unfavorably by 40%, with just 11% saying they saw a benefit, while nearly half, 47%, saw an unfavorable impact on the National Health Service, compared to just 9% who thought things had improved. Opinion head of policy and public affairs James Crouch told The Guardian, public discontent at how Brexit has been handled by the government continues, with perceived failings even in areas previously seen as a potential benefit from leaving the EU. However, he said Brexit is likely to be a secondary issue at the next election compared to the state of the economy and the NHS, which are the clear priority for voters. While the UK voted to leave the EU in 2016 by a 4-point margin, with 52% in favour of the move, it did not actually exit until January 2020, 2 months before the government's decision to shut down the economy and lock down the population in response to the COVID-19 pandemic plunged the country into its worst recession since record-keeping by the Office for National Statistics began in 1955. After a failed attempt at a Brexit deal led to then Prime Minister Theresa May's resignation in 2019, the separation was finally achieved under the direction of her successor, Boris Johnson, who led his Conservative Party to victory in their biggest election win since Thatcher years, based on his promise to get Brexit done. Current PM Rishi Sunak, who served As Chancellor Anders Johnson also touted the economic benefits of leaving the EU, calling it a once-in-a-generation opportunity for the country to take back control of its destiny. Also, the website of Vion wrote, 3 years after ditching the European Union under the Brexit campaign, a clear majority of the British people now regret the decision. A new poll by the Opinion Agency has found that most of the people in the UK now blame Brexit for swelling inflation, the government's inability to crack down on illegal immigration and the worsening health sector. According to the poll, which took into consideration the opinion of 2,000 voters, only 10% of people believe Brexit had helped their finances, while 35% say the exact opposite. Only 9% of people believe the country's health services have improved, despite promises that leaving the EU would bring back £350 million a week into the NHS, National Health Service. A whopping 47% of people said the NHS had worsened over the past 3 years. On inflation, just 7% of people said Brexit helped keep prices down, while 63% of them said the opposite and blamed it for the skyrocketing cost of living. In general, just 22% of voters said Brexit has been good for the nation. The website of Vion added, the bleak response from the British public reflects the fact that most of the promises offered to them during the 2016 referendum are yet to be fulfilled, while Brexit's side effects are glaringly visible. Pro-Brexit campaigners had said Brexit would give the UK more say in bilateral trade deals, thus driving up trade and investments. But a majority of the people still believe Brexit has been bad for their country's overall trade. Despite having affected the UK's population directly over the 3 years, experts believe Brexit is not going to be the top poll issue in 2024 general elections. James Crouch, head of policy and public affairs at Opinium, was quoted as saying by The Guardian, more than half, 53% of Leave voters now think that Brexit has been bad for the UK's ability to control immigration, piling even more pressure on an issue the government is vulnerable on. He adds, despite this, Brexit is likely to be a secondary issue at the next election compared to the state of the economy and the NHS, which are the clear priority for voters.
Tawakkul comes from the root word wakala. Wakala means to appoint.
Today, I'd like to read to you an excerpt from
Allah is the unique Arabic name.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed.
His decree, though.
Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is Foresight, and I'm your host, Mehdi. Please stay with us. كل شيء ومليك يا رب كل شيء وسانع يا خالق كل شيء. Today's great tip: how do you connect to the spiritual realm, and how this increases and strengthens our ubudiyya, our worship, our servitude, and our obedience to Allah.
Doom, 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 doom.
Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is Foresight, and I'm your host, Mehdi. So, dear listeners, we are talking about how to connect to the spiritual world or the spiritual realm, and of course, how this relates to our worship, our servitude, and our obedience to Allah, the Almighty, the Exalted, and the Glorified. Now, of course, it makes sense that one of the things that we are going to have to do if we want to connect to the spiritual realm is to detach ourselves from the worldly realm. Now, the spiritual realm, of course, is one where one is connected to it via the strengthening of the spirit or the strengthening of the soul or the strengthening of the ruh, as it is known in Arabic. So the stronger that one's ruh and spirit and soul becomes, the easier it is to connect to the spiritual realm. And of course, what is also interesting is that this spiritual realm, this spiritual world, of course, this world which includes the hereafter and the day of judgment, and of course, the resurrection from the grave, all of these things are in a realm which is separate from this material worldly realm. Now, that does not mean that it is a separate realm like two different planets, for example, but a separate realm in the sense where you can physically see the material worldly realm that's in front of you, all these different objects. But this spiritual realm is in tandem and it is along with this worldly realm. So, for example, angels are present, right? The shuhada, the martyrs are alive. They are present. Allah is present in this very realm. But it is a realm which is veiled by materialism and can only be seen when one detaches themselves from the world and you connect to the ghaib or the unseen, the spiritual realm. Now, of course, the more that one conducts the various ubudiyas related to the Almighty Allah, the different kinds of worship and servitude and obedience to the Almighty Allah, they start to become closer to the spiritual realm. And so one of the things that is important, again, as we have said, is to detach ourselves from the world. That is one of the ways in which we can connect to that spiritual realm. And so in the next segment, we're going to talk a little bit more about this. Please stay tuned.
IRIB English Radio.
Our website is parstoday.ir.
رجائي بالرضا والخير أنير طريقي مع صديقي باحترام الغير.
Now we invite you to listen to Brother Hassanain Rajabali.
So what happens is when we get too busy with the world, when prayer time comes five times a day, we are distracted. We're so busy with the world. Adhan was recited. Allahu Akbar. Oh, yeah, I gotta stop. Hold on. I gotta go pray. Usually we wait till it's the last. People ask, when is it qadha? People ask, brother, when does it become qadha? So why don't you ask, when is salah time? Why are you asking, when does it end? He says, well, I'm just gonna take it to the last second, you know, because I'm just so busy. I said, alhamdulillah, at least you're praying. But worry about the beginning of prayer. Beginning of prayer is where everything is. You can give time to the beginning of the prayer. Allah will make everything easy. Your business will go easy. The bala will be reduced. Believe me, you will think that other person you're going to negotiate with is going to be a headache for you. You pray on time, it becomes a piece of cake. He signs by the dotted line. He says, wow, it was that easy. Allah says, you took a step to me. I make it easy for you. So what do? We're distracted. So when salah comes, I'm distracted. So I'm in qunut, I'm reading my stock, figuring out where my portfolio is. I go into ruku, oh, I need to call that person. You go into sujood, yes, I forgot that person. Before you finish, you don't remember what you recited. Because the world is a distraction for us. So during salah, the world, actually I use the word, salah becomes the distractor. I'm so in love with this thing, the world, that when prayer came, I had to give it some respect. So I stopped concentrating on the world temporarily, but I'm so in love with it that I'm giving half heart on this time. It's exactly like, imagine if I'm talking to a brother and I'm very interested in the conversation, I'm engaged, and somebody comes and taps on my shoulder and says, brother, can I ask you a question? You look at him and say, sure. And he's talking, your mind is there. You're giving half attention here because you have to show respect, but your mind is there. This is why prayer is so shallow in most of us. We're so distracted by the world that Allah says, Al-Hakum al-Takathur. Abundance diverts you. Hatta zurtumul maqabir. Until you come to the graves. Islam is a beautiful religion, brothers and sisters. And salah is the iconic symbol. And Imam Hussein on the night, they do dhikr, they pray, and they seek grace from Allah. This should resonate in our hearts. If we don't pray, we should pray. If we're praying, we should get closer to Allah. Say, how can I concentrate? The concentration is, if during the day, before prayer time, I took time to reflect on Allah, about Allah's grace, and I took time to take account of His mercy, and I was grateful to Allah, we will become like that individual who's thirsty towards water. And water here becomes prayer. You can't wait for the prayer. And then the beloved comes to you at the time of salah, at the time of adhan, the beloved now has opened the door and says, come, talk to me. I have allowed you entry into my dominion to talk to me.
IRIB English Radio.
Our website is parstoday.ir.
Welcome back to your listeners. This is Foresight on IRIB English Radio. So in continuation to what we were saying, which was this idea of how do we connect to the spiritual realm, this realm of the unseen, this alamul ghaib, this realm of the unseen. Now, of course, we had said in the previous segment that one of the important things that needs to be done if we want to connect to the spiritual realm, or let's say in another way, if we want to strengthen our soul and our ruh, our spirit, is to detach ourselves from the world. This detaching ourselves from the world does not mean that we do not have, relationships in our life, whether it's a relationship with our parents or our spouses or our children. Or that we cut ourselves from society, we go live in some kind of a jungle or a cave or a mountaintop. This is not what is meant by detaching ourselves from the world, right? There are different things that are manifestations of the world. And yes, having a lot of children, having a lot of property, having very beautiful wives, or having big cars and mansions and having a great position and status, these are all manifestations of the world. And one needs to avoid being attached to these things, and especially having an attachment to these things which lead one to be neglectful of the Almighty Allah. So, for example, nobody is saying that we should not have a nice car to drive, but of course within the means, within moderation And of course, without going into extravagance and israf and this unnecessary luxury, of course, this unnecessary luxury is something which is promoted and pushed by the, you know, Western culture that is trying to dominate the rest of the world. And matter of fact, when you look at Western culture, the things that are promoted are an attachment to the world, attachment to material things, attachment to the physical realm, to this body, to the very physical pleasures, whether it's food or drink or other kind of carnal desires. We see that they really push us towards those kind of attachments towards the world and this dunya and this materialistic aspect of the world. And here, of course, we realize that based upon our discussion in this episode, is that the more we are connected to the world and the more we have an attachment towards these worldly material things, the more we end up being negligent of the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creator, the sustainer, the nourisher, the provider of sustenance. And really, the more that we become negligent of the Almighty Allah, then our connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also becomes weak. And of course, in turn, our connection to the spiritual realm becomes weak. And so all in all, this detachment from the world can help us to connect to the spiritual realm, and this attachment to the world will actually break our connection to this spiritual realm. And of course, all of this is based upon ubudiyah, right? If you are a real abid, a real servant, a real worshiper, one who is truly obedient to the Almighty Allah, then they're not going to be distracted by things that are part of this materialistic world, and they will try to make sure that their attention and their focus is all on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of Foresight. Don't forget to visit our website at parstoday.ir. Until another episode and another great tip, fi amanillah, and God bless you all.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.